Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiur on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Etshalom. We're now Masechet Arachin Daf Hey Amud Aleph, looking at the end of Mishnah Aleph of Arachin, and then we're going to take a look at Mishnah Bet in a few minutes. Pachut ben chodesh didar v'lo nerach, a baby who is less than 30 days old, has damim, so therefore nidar, but does not have an erach because the Arachim start at 30 days. Tana Rabbanan, we have a backup midrash halacha. Marich pachot men chodesh, Rameh omeh noten damav, chamom noomeh lomar klum. If somebody makes the erech of somebody who's less than 30 days, Rameh says, then you give damim instead. Chamom said you're not obligated to anything. I misidentify this midrash halacha, it's just a brayta. What's the disagreement? Rameh savar, ein adam motzid vav levatala, this is Rameh's position throughout Shas. A person does not make a useless declaration. In other words, we have to interpret it and say he must have meant something that actually has some practical application or some obligation, and transfer it that way. Everybody knows that less than a month there's no erech. He must have intended damim. Sometimes a person will say something that isn't meaningful. Now, so the following statement of Rav, who does it follow in that machloket? Homer erech kli alai, if you say, I'm giving the value of a kli, the erech of a kli, no ten damim, you have to give its damim, because it has no erech. So we think it's grameir, so pshita grameiratya, so maudatem afiduk rabbanan. The point is that we might have thought that it even follows rabbanan. And the reason is because hatam hudatoi, in the case of the two-week-old baby, it's a legitimate mistake. Since he knows people are in arachin, maybe he doesn't know that a month is the cutoff. Here, there's certainly no way he made a mistake. Certainly, no, there's no erech to a kli. And therefore, when he said erech kli, he must have meant damim. Kamash Malan, that only Rav Meir would say Yerchayiv here, because Ein Adam Motzi Dvarav Levatala. Ulu Rav Meir Lamait Stari, according to Rav Meir, why is it even needed to teach that? Maudatei Matam, Rav Meir Hatam de Gazar Pachot Ben Chodesh, Atu Ben Chodesh. I might have thought that Rav Meir's reason was, not because Ein Adam Motzi Dvarav Levatala, but he says, if you say Erech of a two-week-old baby, Yerchayiv is a Gzeira because of an older one. But here, with a kli, there's no reason to make such a gzera. Maybe he says you're not chayav. Kamash malan, that's not the reason. Tamar Rameir, de'en adam otzid vav levatala, that's the reason. Lo shnahacha v'lo shnahacha. Therefore, it doesn't matter if you say erech, two-week-old baby, erech, kli. Now, come on, Azla, de haman amar Rav Abba Yosef from Rav. The following statement attributed to Rav. Rav Yev Abba Yosef from Rav. Either way, goes back to Rav. Hamakdish be'mat chavero. You have an animal of your friend, and you say a makdishit, which of course is meaningless, meaning as far as being makdishit, notem damer, you have to give damim. Come on, again, kramer, because again, since you know that you can't be makdish somebody else's animal, you must have been committing to damim. Ha'am Rav Chazina, but Rav already said a similar statement. Same thing with a kli. The answer is they're not the same. Ma'udatei ma'atam hudi yodeshein erach l'kli v'gam amar l'shem damim. Maybe in the case of the kli, everybody knows that a kli has no erech, therefore you must have intended damim. Hava beima devat mikdashi, but an animal could be mukdash as long as you owned it. He can remember the hachikamar. Maybe he meant the following. Yamina l'alamara mazbin l'ani'ali. If I'm successful in getting the guy to sell it to me, I'm buying being makti shit now, and then when he sells it to me, I'll bring it as a korban. But I certainly didn't intend damim. I intended to bring this animal. So kamash malan, that even though so, it's damim. Ravashi v'hu damar alai. That's, by the way, only if you said hare alai. Aval amar hare zu lo. If you said beima zu hektesh, you said nothing. Alai, at least you're committing to a value. Okay, the next Mishnah Bet Goy. What do we do with a Goy? Rabbi Meir Omer Ne'arach Avalo Ma'arich. A Goy is included, like anybody else, if he's between 20 and 60, and a male, it's 50 shkalim, a female, 30, etc. But if he makes a commitment, he's not held to it. Rabbi Omer, the opposite. Ma'arich Avalo Ne'arach. He can make a commitment, and that counts, but he's not counted as one of the targets of Arachim. V'zeh v'zeh modim shno din v'no drin. Odin v'nidarin. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir agree that a non-Jew can make a commitment of damim, and that's a commitment, and he can also be the object of someone's commitment of nidarim of damim. Let's see the background. Tana Banan. Bnei Yisrael marichin ve'ino goyim marichin. Only Jews can commit themselves. Yacholiyu nerachin. I might think non-Jews can't be a target of arachim. Tamalomar ish. Therefore, the Torah starts with the parsha of arachim with the word ish, meaning anybody. Divrei Rav Meir. Now, Amar Rav Meir, here's what he says. After all, I've got Bnei Yisrael at the beginning of the parsha, that is exclusive, and I've got Ish, which is inclusive. So, Neimar Ani Omer, Ne'arach V'lo Marich. Why do I think that a non-Jew is included as a target, but not as a committer? Because the Torah includes more that can be targets than that can be committers. Why? Acherishotavakatan are targets, but they can't commit. So you've got three that are out, as opposed to Tumtum Vandroginos, who are committers but are not in. There are only two that are out. So therefore he says, the Torah is more inclusive when it comes to targets than when it comes to Ma'arichim. Rabbi Yehuda omer the opposite. Bnei Yisrael ne'erachin ve'en ha'goyim ne'erachin. Only Jews are targets. Yacholi u'marichin. I might think non-Jews can't be committers. Tamalomar ish. And again, the tension between ish and Bnei Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda v'chim yachash v'kwa achad m'rabba m'kwa achad m'ma'eit. Bnei ma'ani omer goyim ma'arich v'lo ne'erach. So why did I take that position? The Torah has more that are excluded from ne'erachin than those that are excluded from ma'arichim, because tumtan androgynos don't have a value. So that's the brayta. Now Amar Rava, Rava's comment is hilchatei d'Rav Meir bistabra. Rav Meir's position, as far as the actual halacha, is more reasonable, that goyim cannot contribute. Tam elo mistabra, but the argument that he gives is not reasonable, not as reasonable, or as compelling. Tam elo Yehuda mistabra, Rabbi Yehuda's argument is more compelling. Hilchot elo mistabra, but his ruling is not so compelling. Why? Hilchot elo mistabra, dichtiv lo lachem v'lanu livnot et beit Eloheinu. That what the Jews said to the Shomronim when they were rebuilding the Mikdash, the Shomronim wanted to help, they said, you shouldn't contribute with us. So they should not contribute to the Beit HaMikdash. Therefore, Reb Meir's position that Goyim are not Ma'arichim is reasonable. Ta'amei lo mistaber, but his argument isn't reasonable. Why? Because the Kamaiti the Mecherishet of a Cotton, he used Cherishet of a Cotton, who are Ne'arachin for not Ma'arichin, as evidence that Ma'arichim is a larger pool. The reason Chereshet of a Cotton cannot be Ma'arich is not because there's some unique thing about Arachim that knocks them out. It's because they can't commit to anything. They're not B'nai Dea. Now, Tamir Rehuda Mistab, Rabbi Yehuda's position, argument is more compelling. Kamaitim Tumtum Vendroginos, that's where he comes from. The Afagav, the B'nai Dea Ninhu, Me'atinu Rachmana, because even though Tumtum Vendroginos are B'nai Dea, they have Da'at, nonetheless, they are excluded, and therefore it's more reasonable to say that ne'arachin is a smaller pool. But hilchatei lo mistabra, but ruling like him doesn't seem to fit. Dichtiv lo lachem v'lanu livnot beit Eloheinu, because of the same pasuk in Ezra. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, hi lo lachem v'lanu mayavilei. So, what does Rabbi Yehuda do with that pasuk about the mikdash, which he seems to ignore? That the halacha is that if a non-Jew contributes, we bury that value, meaning we bury that gift. So we don't use it. So elamiata lo malubo, but if that's the case, then if somebody else uses it, then there should be no me'ila, because since Hekdesh is not going to use it, as we see none. Chamesh chataot ha-metot ma'ot ha-chot le-yam ha-melech is really two mishnayot strung together in me'ila. Lo nenim v'lo mo'alin. Things that have to be killed can't be used. You can't get an off no chatchila, but if you do, there's no me'ila. So that should be the case with kodshe goyim, so the erke goyim, if indeed we accept them. So Alama Tanya Gabi Kotche Goyim, Pamedvam Amurim Bekotche Mizbeach. We said that there is no Meila when Goyim have Kotche Mizbeach, when they donate an animal to the Mizbeach. Kotche Benakabait, when they donate to Benakabait, Moalimam, there's Meila. And if you're going to bury it, so why is there Meila? Alama Rava, Rava says that there's a whole different reason why in Ezra's record, it wasn't Ezra's time, but Zerubbabel and the other leaders of the community refused to let the Shomronim help. It wasn't because there's an essential problem with having them contribute, but rather, because it would have weakened the Jewish effort, because the Jews in Babel would say, we're not going to make Aliyah, we're not going to help, because after all, the Shomronim are helping to build. Alright, so it was because of a social concern, as opposed to an inherent problem with contributing to the Mikdash. Alright, so now let's see a side discussion. Tanachara. If a goy volunteered to give money to Medakabayit, Mekabli Mene, we accept it from him. Hanirach in Mekabli, we have another bright that says we don't accept it. Amrav Ilam Rav Yochanan, Lokasha, here's how we resolve it. Ha bitchila habasof. Before the Mikdash is fully built, we don't accept it. We don't want them Nevachelak. And the reason really is because if they make a commitment and we rely on it, they may back out. Habasof, but once it's already built and they want to add something to it, we'll accept it. When we're first building, we don't accept any commitments, even of the simplest things. Water, salt, etc. Basof, afterwards, we don't accept a specific funds for a specific gift. But if it's something that's general, like here's money, you do what you need to do with it, then we'll accept it. What's a specific gift? Remember, we have the roof on the Mikdash that had those spikes on it so the birds wouldn't sit there and foul the whole area. That's a Davar Mesuyam. That we won't accept from them. Funds to build that. Even that. Meitir Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef has a challenge to this whole thing. V'geret al-asaf shemera pardes ha-shel ha-melech, etc. In which Nehemiah gets the king to agree to have his own woodmen send wood for the building of the Mikdash. So you see that we do accept it l'chatchila. It's different if you're getting from the kingdom. The monarch's not going to change his mind. And the real problem is he's going to back out. If the kingdom says we're going to uproot a mountain, he'll uproot the mountain. He won't go back. Once the kingdom commits to something, they're going to do it. Of course, he means that as a guzma, but that's the point. Okay, I'm going to read on the Rav. Goy she frees truma mikiryo. Let's say a goy gives truma. Bodkinoto. We check. Ibidat Yisrael Frisha. If he said, I want to give this like the Jews do their truma, tinotel a coin, give it to a coin, it's full truma. Vimlav, but if not, tunag liza, we have to bury it away. Why? Chashin and Shema b'libol ha-shamay. Maybe he meant to give it directly to God, but we don't know. So we have to bury it away so that it's not used improperly. Meitavei, watch this challenge. Goshina Dev Korah. Let's say he donated a beam to a building. Meshem Katuv Alea. And there's a Shem Hashem written on it. Bodkinoto. Ima Mabadat Yisrael Ifrashtia. If he says, I'm giving this as the Jews give donations. So Yigod Vishtamesh Pomotar. Then you cut the Shem Hashem off. And you can use the rest of the beam for whatever the need is. For the Bekes and whatever. Mlav Tunag Gliza. If not, you have to bury it. Why? Chashina Neshema B'libol HaShamayim. Maybe he intended this whole thing to be a gift to God and not for use. So Tam Hashem Katuv Alea Debay Gliza. Now notice, this is why it's a challenge. It seems to be only because there was Shem Hashem written on it that you have to bury it away. Ha'en Shem Katuv Alea Debay Gliza. Clearly, if Shem Hashem, it seems, wasn't written on it, you don't have to bury it away. You can use it, no matter what his intent might have been. The answer is no. What did I forget? The Shem Katuv Alea Debay Gliza. Even if there was no Shem. So why? What's the point of mentioning the shame? Now, for God, the shame katuv alah, teaching you that even if there is a shame, yigod vishtamesh pomotar, you could cut it off and bury that piece of wood that has shem Hashem on it somewhere and use the rest. The shame shlo mekomo lav kadosh, meaning a shame Hashem that's not in its proper place doesn't sanctify the rest of the item it's on. Ditnan hayah katuv al yadot hakelim v'al kirei hamita. If you have a shame written on a handle or on a leg of a bed. You cut it away, bury it, and use the rest of the thing. It doesn't sanctify because it's not in its proper place. Okay. And this is going to bring us to a sugya that will take us to the end of this piece. Very interesting piece about taking funds that are donated for a particular thing and using them for something else. If you commit to give a particular coin to tzedakah, you're now allowed to use it for something else, and then you have to pay back to tzedakah. Savor minalatzmo in lacherlo, he thought that's only if you use it for yourself, but you can't give it to somebody else. No, you can give it to somebody else too. By the way, this is only true if you said Hare Alai, because then you have a personal commitment to give it. But if you said Hare Zu, you have to give it as is. You have to use that coin. Rava says, Adarabba. The opposite's reasonable. Amar Zu Mishtameshba. If you say Hare Zu, then you should use it. Then you're Chayab Bachrayut, and you'll give another coin, but you now have a Chiyu Bachrayut on you. So we want you to use it. But if you said a lie, you're running out to your bachrayut. There's no motivation to do that. Ela lo shna. Rabbi says it doesn't matter. A lie, zoo, in any case, you can use it, and you're chayiv to pay back. Tanya kama tedi Rabban. We have a bright that supports that. Neder tztaka vein hektei tztaka. Five words that are very hard to decipher. Is it my kama? What does it mean? Lo neder velo hektei tztaka. Neder is not tztaka, and hektei is not tztaka. It's three different things. Neder, hektei, and tztaka. What does it mean? This is what the Brita means. Tzedakah rehi kineder, meaning it has a din of neder bevalta acher, as we saw in Rosh Hashanah Daf Vav, that when you make a commitment to tzedakah, you have to give it within a certain amount of time. Ve'ena kehekdesh, but it's not like hekdesh, meaning that ilu hekdesh asur l'shtameish habay, you're not allowed to use hekdesh, that's called me'ilah. Ve'ilu tzedakah asur l'shtameish habay, for something for tzedakah you can use for yourself, and then pay it back. I told Rav Zvid of Nardea this whole piece. Amar, he says, Atun Nachman Ninula. You learned it that way. Anun Hachimat Ninula. We have a different statement of Rav Nachman. That's where this whole thing started. Rav Nachman Arab Bavua Amar Rav. But in our version, it goes back to Rav. Hamer Selazul Itztakam Mutala Shanotabin Atzvobin Nacher Ben Amar Alai Ben Amar Harezu. Everything that we just developed over all of the Shakalataria was part of the original Memra, that you can change it, whether it's for yourself, for others, whether you said a lie or whether you said zu. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, Selo Zu Litztaka, Ashlo Batali De Gabai Mutar L'Sharota. Until the Gabai gets it, it can be used for something else, and you owe it. Mishabatali De Gabai Asur L'Sharota. Once the Gabai of the collector of the Tztaka gets it, you cannot change its use, you cannot use it. Aini, is that true? Rabbi Yana Yazifu Par, Rabbi Yana himself was a Gabbai Tztaka, used to borrow from the Tztaka and then pay it back. How could he do that? The answer is Shani Rabbi Yana, Denechalu Lanim, the Chamed Mashi Ma'asi Umaiti Lahu. For in case, Rabbi Yana's case, it was actually better to have the pot be empty. Because then people, the Nechalu Lanim, it's better for the Anim, the Chamed Mashi, as long as it's held over empty, Ma'asi, he could force other people, convince them to give, because look, the pot's empty, and then bring more tzedakah. All right, so it was a strategy. Tano Rani, Yisrael Shint Nadev Menorah Oner LeBeit HaKnesset. If a Jew commits and says, I'm going to pay for that lamp in the Beit Knesset, Asur L'Shanotah, you can't take the funds and use them for something else, even though you need a new rug or a new chair. Savra B'Chia Barabba L'Memer Lo Shnal Dvar Hashud Lo Shnal Dvar Mitzvah. So B'Chia Barabba thought that means you can't even use it for a Dvar Mitzvah, like a cover for the Sefer Torah. Rabbi Ami, Achim Rabbi Yochanan, he said, no, Rabbi Yochanan said, Lo Shanu El Dvar Hashud. This ban to not use the money for something else is only for a Dvar Hashud, like another bench. Aval Dvar Mitzvah, Mutal Shanata, you can't. And what's the proof? Midam Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan never said that. We got it from this. Because what did Rabbi Yochanan say? Goy shit na dev menorah l'vnei l'vnei knesset. If a goy commits to give a lamp to the Beit Knesset, ad shelo nishtakeh Hashem baleha, as long as people still remember that he committed to give it, asur l'shanota. You cannot change the funds. Mish nishtakeh Hashem baleha, but if by this time people already forgot who they made the donation, and right then mutar l'shanota. Now, Lemai, what is it you're changing it for? Ilay Maladvar Rashut? Are you allowed to change it to a bench or something? Mayir Yagoy? It's not only a goy. I feel the Yisrael Nami. Even if Yisrael donates, you can't change it to a Dvar Rashut. El Dvar Mitzvah must be a Dvar Mitzvah. And now, the Tama de Goy who deploy. It's only because the goy will come and he'll complain. Why? I gave money for a lamp. Why'd you use it for a bench? Well, Yisrael will probably shop your dummy. But Yisrael will understand. That's what the Beit Knesset needed. So therefore, you can immediately use it. In the case of Yisrael, even though he's aware of it, you can use it for a Dvar Mitzvah. Now, Sha'azrak Taya, it's the name of an Arab, Sha'azrak, Inadir Shraga Veikaneshta. He wanted to donate a lamp to the Beikaneset, to Rabbi Yehuda, which is in Pumbadita. Shanye Rachva. So, one version of this is that Rachva took the money and used it for something else. Veikpad Rava, Rava was upset at that. Ikadami, the other version is Shanye Rava. Rava used it for something else. Veikpad Rachva, and Rachva was upset. So, that's back and forth. Some people say Shanya Chazane Pumbadita, the Gaboim, the people who ran the Beit Knesset, they changed it. Vikpad Rachva, Vikpad Rava. Rava and Rachva were both upset. Either way, we don't know who, but somebody changed it, somebody else thought it was okay to change. Somebody, and they had to change, so others thought it was not okay. Man the Shanya, the one who changed it, Savar de Lo Shechiach. This guy is a traveler's through. He's not gonna come back, so he won't even notice, he'll not, won't be there to protest. Mandi Ikpad, whoever it was, it was Makpid, Rava or Rachva, both of them. So he's in the Mikrati. He might inadvertently come in and see that his money was used for something else, and so therefore we shouldn't use it for something else. But we see it's all out of concern of his reaction. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll do the final podcast in the first parak of Arachin next, but in the meantime, wish everybody a wonderful day.